Well, delighted to see all who have gathered tonight, and we welcome you in the Saviour's name. But on your behalf, I'd like to bid a special word of welcome to our sister, Miss Noreen McAfee. And I'm delighted that she's come along tonight to tell of her work in Uganda. I'm just going to hand over the rest, not the rest of the meeting, but the next part of the meeting to her. And she's going to bring a word and then a report. And we trust that the Lord will bless us even as our sister comes now to leave some matters before us.
Well, it's good to be here, and I want to thank your minister and this session for the opportunity to come and to tell you again about the work of God in Uganda and just update you on how things are going there. I also want to thank you as a congregation for your faithfulness. I know this congregation has supported me faithfully since I went to Kenya and then when I transferred over into Uganda. And we really do appreciate that. We know that you give in a general way. We know that you've supported various appeals, the appeal we had for the aid, the need for sponsorship with the children. We know the ladies have been very active there and maybe other members as well. And I do want to really express our gratitude for all of that, for all your giving, and of course for all your praying. Because without the prayers of God's people, we really couldn't see anything done in Uganda, and we certainly wouldn't survive. So we do thank you sincerely in the Lord's name for all that you do and for all that you have done, even in the past. We're going to read from Romans chapter 12, the book of Romans chapter 12. We're reading together from verse 1 down to verse 8. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 down to verse 8. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophesy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth, on teaching. Or he that exhorteth, on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. We'll end there. We trust the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his own word. Maybe we could have just a wee word of prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks this night that we can come and bow humbly in your presence. We thank you, Lord, for watching over us today and, Lord, enabling each of us to be here. And, Lord, we pray that for these few minutes that, Lord, thou wouldst close us in with thyself. And, Lord, thou wouldst come down in our midst. And, Lord, that thou wouldst speak to us. Lord, give me help even as I would speak. And Lord, give help to those who listen. And Lord, we ask that even all of us this night would hear your voice speaking to us. And Lord, we pray that we would be obedient to whatever thou would say unto us. We pray now that thou will continue with us and do us good, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to look at these verses that we've read from Romans chapter 12, just very briefly, and then I'll tell you a little update about the work in Uganda. But if we look here at the verses we read, especially verse 1 and verse 2, Paul was writing to the Romans and he said, I beseech you. I beseech you. I always think beseech is a very strong word, all right? It's kind of like, I beg you. I'm pleading with you, all right? And in a sense, tonight I'm here to plead with you. Right, to plead with you concerning the needs that are there in Uganda and to beseech you that you would ask the Lord even how he would have you to help meet the needs that are there in Uganda. Paul said, I beseech you. All right, and he said it to those whom he called brethren. All right, in the first chapter of Romans, we read that this letter was written to those who were the beloved of God and those who were called to be saints. So in other words, he was saying it to those who were the believers there at Rome. He was beseeching them. All right, and tonight I trust that I'm talking to those who know the Lord, those who are beloved of God, those who have been called to be saints, just the way Paul was. And then we look at what it was he was beseeching them to do. All right, and he was beseeching them to present their bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. All right, and then at the end of verse 2, he was also beseeching them to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We think of the first one, he was beseeching them to present their bodies a living sacrifice. He was asking them to give themselves to the Lord. That's what he wanted. He wanted living sacrifices, and he wanted them to present themselves or to hand themselves over to the Lord. Those who brought their sacrifices in Old Testament times, they handed over whatever they had brought, their animal, and they didn't start to dictate now what was to be done with it or how it was to be used or anything else. They just handed it over, and they trusted the one who received it to do with it as he saw fit. And you know, whenever we hand ourselves over to the Lord, all right, we should be surrendered in the same way. That we give ourselves to the Lord for him to use us in whatever way he sees fit. Paul didn't list a whole list of qualifications and things that he was looking for. He said that they were to present their bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. That was all, just those that were living and those who were holy, and those who were going to give themselves to the Lord. And you know, maybe tonight you think, well, if I handed myself to the Lord or presented myself to the Lord, I don't know that there's much he could do with somebody like me. I don't have this ability, that ability, the other ability. I don't have this qualification or that qualification or the other one. But you know, the Lord is just looking for those who will give themselves completely to him. The Bible tells us he doesn't choose many wise, he doesn't choose many noble. All right, but he chooses the foolish and the weak things. And then he gives them the strength and the might and the power. And I can say that that is true. Whenever the Lord called me to go and to serve him, I could think of many reasons. I was like Moses. I had all the excuses as to why I wouldn't be the person to go. And yet, when the Lord calls you to go and do something, the Lord will help you and the Lord will equip you. But you have to give yourself to him. You have to present your body as that living sacrifice. And then we are to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We have to say that now we are ready to accept whatever God's will is for us. And you know, maybe sometimes that is a challenge. Even though we say we love the Lord and we're ready to do anything for him, maybe when it really comes to the crunch, maybe we fear what God's will might be. But you know, when Paul wrote about it here, he said that it was good. That those who presented their bodies a living sacrifice, they would prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And God's will for each of us is good. It is good. The plans he has for us are good. The thoughts he has towards us are good. They're not evil. And he is always seeking to do what is for our good and what is for the general good. You know, maybe we fear and we think, oh, maybe if I gave myself to the Lord, he might send me to a place and I would absolutely hate it. But you know, he is our loving Heavenly Father. We trust him for our salvation. Don't we trust that he knows what is best for us? Don't we trust that he believes and knows and understands everything about us better than we know ourselves? Don't we realize that his plan for us, it is good. It is good. It was good, he said. He said it was acceptable. The plan that God has for us, it's acceptable, of course, to him because it is his plan, it is his will, but I believe the Lord also makes it acceptable to us. I remember before I went to the mission field, when I felt the Lord was calling me, I suppose there was a stage where I would have said, I'll go anywhere except Africa. Not that I felt at that stage that the Lord was particularly leading me to Africa, but I probably thought, I'll go anywhere except Africa. I think I could manage Australia. I think I could cope in Spain. I think I could, but I probably thought the one place that I wouldn't manage would be Africa. And yet, you know, when the Lord called me to Africa, to Kenya, and later to Uganda, it was perfectly acceptable to me. I found God's will to be acceptable. And wherever the Lord leads you, wherever the Lord takes you, if you are obedient and you follow, you will find it perfectly acceptable. I have never talked to somebody who was truly called of God and obeyed and went to a place that the Lord led them to who told me that they hated it. Maybe they are there, I don't know, but I haven't come across them. But I would have to say that the places that God has led me to, I have loved them. I have loved them. They have been so acceptable. And the Lord has prepared me for the places that he has taken me to, and the Lord can prepare you too. Or wherever he wants you to go and whatever he wants you to do. Paul even said that it was the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You know, if something is perfect, you can't improve upon it. I'm a teacher, as you know. I have never given back work and written perfect. All right? You get good and very good. You might even get excellent. But I have to confess, I've never sent back perfect. All right? Maybe I'm a bit hard, I don't know. But you know, when you say perfect, you mean it can't possibly be improved upon. It couldn't be any better. And that is true of God's will for each of us. All the scheming and planning and preparing and organizing and strategizing and working that we might try to do for ourselves will never produce something that is better than the perfect will of God. So Paul besought these people, and he said, I beseech you that you present your body as a living sacrifice, and that you prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that would be my plea to you also tonight, that you would do the same. We have young people here, we have middle-aged people here, we have more mature people here, and the Lord can take all of us and use us if we surrender ourselves to him. You might say, how could I possibly do that? I don't think I could do it. Well, Paul said, by the mercies of God. I beseech you by the mercies of God. Because of the mercies of God, but also because God continues to give us mercy. We can do that. We can find the grace that we need to present ourselves to the Lord. By not being conformed to this world. For sure, if you're going to hand yourself over to the Lord and prove his will, then you have to leave aside the ways of the world and the thinking of the world and the mindset of the world. I think every time I come home, I feel more sorry for our young people here at home and our older people as well, but the expectations and the demands and the pressure to be like the world. And the idea of what is important and what you must have and what you must do and the paths that you must follow to fit into society and to be acceptable. But you know, we are not to be conformed to this world. Sometimes maybe when we think of those words, we think of dress or hairstyle or certain places you go or things like that. But you know, it's so much more. It's a whole mindset about what is important. It's a whole mindset about what is our purpose in life, about what we're really here for, about what we're spending our energy on, and what we're using our talents to achieve. And Paul said, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We need that mind which was in Christ to be in us. And he said that this was reasonable service. Reasonable service. Even when we do that, you know, it's only a reasonable thing. So if you thought about it, in other words, you would see that it's the only logical conclusion that you could come to when you consider all that God has done for you. The only conclusion you could come to is that you should give yourself wholly to him and seek to do his will for your life. And so the challenge is there, not just to you, but also to me, to do that, to give ourselves as a living sacrifice to the Lord and to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I know that if we do so, we will be truly blessed. We will be wonderfully blessed, because our God is faithful and our God can do far exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even think. Now, I said I would update you a little bit on the work of God in Uganda, and I want to do that. I've already thanked you for your prayers and for your support. I should thank some others also, especially the members of our mission board and the Uganda Oversight Subcommittee. I'm sure you're well informed about the activities of the mission board here, but we have so many fields now, they have set up subcommittees to look after different areas, and so we have the one for Uganda, and the chairman of that is the Reverend David McMillan, and he is very active, he's very supportive, he's very helpful, and the rest of the team on that subcommittee in looking after the work in Uganda. I also want to thank the Missionary Council representatives for all the work that they do in raising support for the work there also, and all those who have helped me during the 5 years that I have been there. When I went out at the start, of course, Stephen and Ruth Miller were on the field, and they had a great role to play in those early days when the work was handed over to the Free Presbyterian Church. And then more recently, Andrew and Hannah Foster were there, and little Rachel, their little girl, and they have done a tremendous work in the short time that they were able to be there. You probably know that the Lord has led them to come home at this time, and they'll not be returning to the field, but we are so grateful for all that they did in the time that they spent in Uganda. We've had many other teams and visitors who have come out to help, and we thank the Lord for all of them as well. And we know that without them we couldn't have done, or we couldn't have reached where we have managed to reach. A few things we can praise the Lord for and keep on praying about. First of all, as I look at the school site, I see a lot of improvements during those 5 years, and most of those are the efforts of Andrew Foster that I've already mentioned. All right, but others have also had a role to play. So we had the borehole, first of all, that helped dramatically solve our water problems. Before that, we were taking water from a swamp, and it wasn't at all pleasant, so we're glad that has been overcome. We have the play park, and you'll see the use that the play park gets every day. The children never have grown tired of it. We had work done in the kitchen, which was a great help, and as the number has increased, we have more and more children to feed, so that really has been very important too. We had the toilet block that was constructed, and we thank God for that. We had the incinerator. In Uganda, you have to burn all your own rubbish. You have to get rid of it yourself, so you either burn it or you bury it. And 500 people can generate a lot of rubbish in a day, never mind a week. So it's very helpful as well. We have the water harvesting. Maybe some of the early videos you saw, rain dripping from gutters and children standing under them taking a shower. So we don't have that anymore, thankfully. All those gutters have been replaced, and one of our churches kindly raised money to put in many water tanks so they can hold the rainwater and we can use it during the dry season. We have new office facilities. The mission board purchased a container, and then it was converted to give the main office and offices for the head teachers. We have had a major renovation of our apartments where we live, so they're very comfortable. And the most recent thing we had was the connection to the mains electricity. It took some time because the team started the work just before COVID, and then of course there was no travel for about 2 years, so they didn't manage to come back until March of this year. And just before I left, just the week before I left, that work was completed, and we now have mains electricity on site, and that is also a great benefit. Now, those are very practical things, I know, but they're very necessary things, and they are a great help to the running of the school and to the missionaries who live and even the visitors who live and who stay on site. We praise God for them. There will be other practical things to be done going forward. We have to maintain and see to the upkeep of what we have. We probably also need to add more as we look to see what is required for the registration of the secondary school. We have registered the primary school, but we still have to register the secondary school. So certainly we're going to need more toilets, more classrooms, probably a large dining hall, something like that, and a few other facilities. So there's going to be plenty to be done. And if you are a practical person, all right, if you're good at any of those things like carpentry, or you're an electrician or a plumber, or you have any of those skills, all right, I know the mission board would be very glad to hear from you. And there's also something that you can do to serve the Lord there in Uganda. We're also thankful for the increase in numbers. There has been a steady increase in all sections. We have the nursery section for children aged 3 to 6. At the end of top class, they do a little test to get them into P1. All right, then we have children from P1 to P7. And at the end of P7, you do the primary leaving exam. That's a national exam, and you have to pass that one to get into high school. And then in high school, you've senior 1 up to senior 4. And at the end of senior 4, children sit for their O-levels, all right, their O-level exams. So in all three sections, the nursery, the primary, the high school, we have seen an increase. And we thank the Lord for all the children that he has given to us. They're from very different backgrounds, some Muslim homes, some Roman Catholic homes, some homes that follow traditional religion. So the backgrounds are varied, and yet the Lord has brought them to the school. And for the vast majority, it is their only contact with the gospel. And so we would ask you to pray for the 448 that we have, that God would really bless them, that God would speak to them, that God would work in their hearts and in their lives, and that God would bring them to a knowledge of Christ as Saviour, and that they would grow up to serve the Lord and to live and to walk with him. Of course, the more children you have, the more staff you need. So at the moment, we have 24 teachers. We had to add some. We had a few staff who have left us for various reasons, but they have been replaced and others have been added. So we've 24 teachers and then 7 support staff at the moment. And you know, we need all of them. Many people say, I pray for you every day, and that is really good. But as well as praying for me, I would ask you to pray for them. Because I couldn't look after 448 children all by myself. I need them, and they need your help, and they need your prayers, and they need God's help every bit as much as I do. During this time that I've been away, the Reverend Morris Baxter and his wife Chrismar were over for 7 weeks. They travelled home last night, so now there's a gap of about 10 days, and then, God willing, I'm going back on the 19th of May, and the Reverend Jonathan Crane and his wife Jean will be travelling out with me, and they're going to spend about 4 weeks and help out at this time. But most of the burden as to the day-to-day running of the school has been upon the head teachers and the other senior staff, and then they've been bouncing things back to me by WhatsApp, which is a wonderful invention at such times. And just pray that the Lord would continue to help them. I know this is a very busy week. It's the main return to school for the start of the second term. So things are always hectic in that opening week. But pray for them that God will give them grace. And pray for all our parents as well. We've described the homes that children come from, and pray that the word of God wouldn't just reach the children, but that the children would take it home to the parents and even out into their community. We're grateful for the support that has been given to keep the school running. Obviously, the more you have, the more it takes. And yet, all our needs have been provided. And we thank God for that. And we just ask you to pray that the Lord would continue to provide. Uganda's just like Northern Ireland. Nothing's getting any less expensive. Everything's getting more expensive. That's how it is. Inflation is there. All right. Maybe not just as bad as it is here, but it's certainly there on the ground and people are feeling the strain. But pray that God would continue to supply every need. I mentioned the exams. We do thank God for helping those who have done exams in the past. They have passed and they've passed well. Of course, we have another group. That's the thing about a school. When you get one lot through the exams, the next lot is lining up and it's time to work on them. So we would ask you to pray for the group who will sit exams this year. We have a group in P7. We have 26 boys and girls in P7. We have a group in Senior 4. All right, we have 7 young people there. And we have one young man who is taking A-levels at a school in Masaka. When children finish with us, we don't really offer anything on site beyond O-level. So some will opt to do A-levels. And the board every year has agreed to support the best 2 students to do whatever they want to do for the next stage. So at the moment, we have one young man who's doing A-levels at Kako Senior Secondary School, and he'll be sitting those exams fairly soon. We have others who opted to go for nursing. So we've 3 young people doing nursing down in Nyantonde, John and Innes and Sharif. They've just registered for their nursing exams. They were sending me the receipt today. So they're gearing up for those as well. We have 3 young ladies who have gone to do a tailoring course. They felt that high school wasn't really for them. They managed to finish P7, but maybe it was a bit of a struggle. And so they felt that they would be better suited to something more practical. So we're grateful that they were sponsored to go and do tailoring. Tailoring's still a big thing in Uganda. People still buy their material and go and get measured up, and somebody sews the clothes for them. And then we've 2 young lads, and they wanted to do mechanics. So one is working on motor vehicles, and the other's working on motorbikes, of which there is an abundance in Uganda. So we have contact with all those young people. We hear from them regularly. We follow up with them regularly. We seek to encourage those who are saved to go on with the Lord. And of course, we continue to witness to those who are not yet saved. And we ask you to pray for them, that the Lord would prosper them, and that even when they complete their courses, that they will go out to do something good in their community and in their homes. Another thing we have is the OVC program. The OVC stands for Orphaned Vulnerable Children. All right, so most of our children would be vulnerable, and some are orphans also. When Mrs. Hannah Foster was there, she put a lot of time and energy into assessing all the households that are connected to the school with the social worker, a man called Mr. Augustine. So we have a picture of what is there in every homestead, who's there and what their income is and what their needs are and so on. And then following on from that, the board felt that each year we should try to support the 10 neediest families in the school to get what they need to survive, to grow some food for themselves, and if possible even to grow a little extra that they could sell and buy the things that you can't grow for yourself. So this is the 3rd year that we have done that. This is the 3rd group of 10 families. They've all received what they need, their manure and their fertilizer and their seeds and their spray pumps and their watering cans and their instructions. And they've already started on the work. And then the social worker will go round and he'll monitor them. And we just ask you to pray that God would bless. We are in a rural setting. Agriculture is the main business, if you like. It's what most people are involved in. Most people either have a small piece of land or they can get access to a small piece of land, but they don't have the money for those inputs. That is their problem. So we're trying to help them with that. and just pray that the Lord would bless them. Last year, some people planted three times to get a harvest. You know the problem, you get a little rainfall and you think, right, that's it, the rainy season has come, and you rush out and you dig up and you plant and you do everything, and then, oh, the rain disappears. All right, so whatever you did, it was kind of all lost, and you have to wait for the next time. And the next time it rains, off they go and do the same again. And some people actually had to do it three times last year. The rainfall was a bit uncertain. And yet they are resilient. I always admire that. They are resilient. And they always try again and again and again. And just pray that the Lord would bless them. And even what a lesson that is for us in the work of God. You know, it's maybe easy to be tempted to give up. But may God make us resilient. That we keep on and we keep trying and we keep going in his work. Of course, any missionary is looking for spiritual fruit. It's good to see buildings and facilities. It's lovely to see an increase in numbers. It's good to see academic progress and people being helped. But we're really there to see souls saved. And the Lord has been good in that regard also. And we know that salvation is of the Lord. It's not something we can work up. It's not something we can do. It's not something we can produce. It is the Lord. We had the VBS, you'll see it on the video, and during that time about 100 children and young people professed faith. Most of them were at the school and some were out at another meeting that we had in a neighbouring district. Since that time we've had others who've also come to know the Lord, just ones and twos at a time, and we thank the Lord for that. Even this last month before I left, we had a young boy from Form 1, Senior 1, who came and asked to be pointed to the Saviour after one of the Bible studies. And then we had a little girl in P7. She wrote a letter, "Dear Madam Principal, request to become a member of God's family." And then she explained how we had been teaching in assembly and how that she knew that her heart was black with sin and she needed to be saved. And so I saw her outside and I said, "Whenever you're free, come and talk to me." So then I got another little letter and it said, "I'm free now and I think that the Lord Jesus has waited long enough for me to swim into the gospel net." And you know, that's just their way of expressing it. But it was lovely to be able to talk to that young girl, her name's Shifla, and to see how clear an understanding she had of her need of salvation and also of the way of salvation. And there have been others as well. And just pray for those young people. There is very little encouragement or help from home, as you can imagine. So really they are relying on whatever help and encouragement they get from school to make any sort of progress. We do see an interest in God's word. That is encouraging. We see some meeting for prayer, even without us organising it. That's also encouraging. We see some of the young people turning up to go on the outreach, the church outreach, which we're also thankful for. And just pray that God would work and that God would move. We have assemblies, an assembly every morning and again every evening. I take some of those assemblies and we have a few others who help. We also have a staff Bible study and a boarders Bible study for the boarding school children. And just pray. Sometimes when you're speaking to the same children over and over and over again, you think, you know, maybe 10 times in the week, you're thinking, well, now what will I teach them today? But pray that God will always give us the right word for the day and that the Lord would bless it to the hearts of those who are listening. I'll say a word about the church. Mainly because we don't have a man to say anything about the church at this present time. But the meetings are ongoing. We have a prayer meeting on the Lord's Day morning. We have a service at 11. We have a Sunday school that we hold in the afternoon. The boarding school children attend and other children come in from the villages around to also attend. And then we have a fellowship meeting in the evening. Now, it's mostly our own young people, but it's open to everybody who wants to come. And then, of course, we have the weekly prayer meeting and Bible study, All those regular meetings are there, and we ask you to pray. We have a faithful little nucleus of people who come, and we thank the Lord for that. We have others who come and go. We have people maybe who are visiting and they come, but we would long to see more coming in, and pray that even as we seek to reach out in the area around about us, that others will come in and hear the word. We do an open air program each Friday afternoon. After lockdown, we didn't really want to go from house to house, so we thought, well, let's maybe do an open air. And there's a circuit of about 10 villages that we go around. So each week we go to one of those villages and we have an open air meeting, play some gospel hymns, sing gospel shots, somebody to testify, somebody to preach, the usual type of open air program. And then afterwards we give out gospel literature. And those meetings have been a great encouragement. In Uganda, people live outside, really. There's in many houses you won't find very much apart from a few mats or maybe some mattresses. And so people live outside. They prepare their food outside. They cook outside. They wash dishes outside. They bath their children outside. They wash their clothes outside. So when you go to a village, everybody is sitting outside on the veranda doing all those very basic things. And they'll just sit there and listen to you. So it's maybe not like here where people are walking past and moving on. They're just sitting there doing whatever they were doing when you arrived, and they will listen to you until you finish. And they're never in any rush because you're probably the highlight of the day. Probably nothing else happened in the village that day except that these people arrived to speak to them. We also give out gospel literature, and it's very well received as well. We have copies of John's Gospel and Dr. Cairns' booklet, A New Beginning, in Luganda. We have other tracts for children and for adults in Luganda, and those are always well received. Very few homes would have a Bible. A Bible, a Lugandan Bible, costs about £9. So that would be a week's wages for some people. All right, so most homes don't have a Bible. And any literature that they can get, they are so ready and willing to receive it and to read it, which is a lovely thing. Last year, the church was also able to organise 2 holiday Bible clubs during the month of December, and we had a good response. We got new children in, and as a result, those children joined the Sunday school, which also was good, and that's something that we'd like to do more of in the future. If we have the time and the manpower, certainly it would be good. We have 2 young people who are doing the FP Bible Training Institute course that the Mission Board has set up for people in foreign lands who have an interest in doing God's work. So we have Elijah and Thomas who are studying for that, and we'd ask you to pray for them as well. But most of all, we would ask you to pray for labourers, that God would send more labourers into his harvest field, and especially a man for the pulpit at Emmanuel. We feel at this time that that really is our greatest need, to have a man who would come and take up the ministry there and who would be there week by week, that they would have systematic teaching and preaching. We appreciate all those who are helping us out, but we really long for a man who would be there full time, and we would ask you to pray very, very much about that. So I want to thank you for listening. You've been very patient, and I trust it has given you an insight into the work in Uganda. We're going to come to the video. It lasts about 20 minutes, and I hope it will be a blessing and encouragement to you.